It's your turn.
Okay, so I'm going to call the Treasury Oversight Committee meeting for Mono County to order for Thursday, May 24th, 2018. And first item on our agenda is an opportunity for public comments. Seeing none, we'll move on to number three, which is to review and approve the prior minutes of the February 26, 2018 Treasury Oversight Committee meeting. Are there any changes or amendments to make? If not, I'd entertain a motion.
So moved.
Seconded.
And a first and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes. The minutes are approved. The second item, the next item on the list, number four, is our Treasury Oversight Committee audit. Because we have this committee, government code requires us to have an audit. And our auditors did complete their review of the compliance, and that audit is attached to the agenda.
So if you look on page four of the audit, you'll notice that's the auditing of the policy itself. They reviewed it and found it all in compliance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Following page is compliance to the policy. They look to make sure we're not exceeding any of our requirements, and we're in compliance on that also. We are also in compliance with the reporting to the Board of Supervisors on a quarterly basis. There were no findings on this report.
Just what we expected.
Yeah, good report. That's what you want.
Yeah, they used to do a lot more fancy stuff in here, but as prices go up, they only do the bare bones now that's required.
Yeah, code. Sure.
Legalities, too.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they don't want to get sued
for
reporting. We used to do a lot of charts and stuff in here.
Do we want to accept, approve it?
Yeah. So if there are any other comments on the audit, I would entertain a motion to accept the Treasury Oversight Committee compliance report for fiscal year ending June 30th, 2017.
I'll vote for that.
Okay.
I'll second.
Have a good vacation.
Do you need a second, or did I hear one already?
We got a second.
I second.
So we got a first and a second. And so all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes, and we've accepted the Treasury audit report. Next item on the list, number five, the quarterly investment report. So I'll turn it over to Gerald.
All right, so let's start on page two of the quarterly investment report. And I'll just go over it real quick. The Treasury was in compliance with Mono County's investment policy as of March 31st. Weighted average maturity was 659 days. It is anticipated the county will be able to meet its liquidity requirements of its pool participants for the next 6 months. On the last day of the quarter, on a cost basis, the portfolio totaled $96,489,882, and the market value was $95,086,908, or 98.546% of cost. On March 31st, the earned interest rate was
Is that the highest spread we've had in a while? I mean, the lowest?
Yes.
That gap is,
yes,
is the highest that I've seen in a while. I mean, the gap.
Yes.
I know I'm not saying that right.
Yeah. The value of the portfolio, if we were to sell it, is at the lowest point
amount that
compared to cost.
Yeah.
And that's because interest rates have been moving upwards.
Right.
So,
yep.
And we do have a hold policy.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We don't sell investments.
So some treasuries, when the interest rates start to rise and you have investments on the books that have lower interest rates, which means that the market price of those declined,
right,
you would maybe sell them and reinvest in hires. But we don't have that policy. We hold to maturity. We don't do a buy and selling speculative.
Yeah. Buy and hold more or less.
Buy and hold.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. The other ones are just truing it up, aligning their portfolio. All right. So earned interest was 1.6048% for the quarter ending March 31st. The next, I think it's five pages, is all of our investments. Does anybody have any questions on the investments that we're holding?
No, I just would like to point out that the net interest was a nice number.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Very nice.
Yeah, it's starting to move, so it's a good thing. Looking at the market today, it's not quite as,
but still.
But yeah, it's starting
you'll,
to increase.
You'll
yeah.
see if you, you glance down at the coupon rate, we've had the opportunity. We've got a treasury loan for 2.5. You know, First Technologies for 2.3. There's another one down at the bottom, 2.2.
Yeah, right.
And those rates exceed the pool's rate, so it's bringing
yeah.
up that.
Yeah, we'll bring it up.
Yeah, and the next quarter you'll see stuff like 3.49 corporate bond that we got.
So is that the ones that are mature? We're maturing in April, and you reinvested.
Reinvesting, yes.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's a good time to be reinvesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, there's one on here for. 4.3.
So that's,
but that's
but it probably bought it at
yes,
at
we bought it at a premium.
Deep premium.
Yes.
We're very diversified, so that's
yeah.
key.
Okay. Let's see. The next page is the distribution by asset category. Not a whole lot of changes. We had some money in transit. We had about $2 million in transit, and what happens with that is it'll mature on the last day of the quarter, and then we don't actually get the money till the following business day. So we posted as transit or funds in transit.
Yeah.
Okay.
And of course, cash is down because you know December 31st was right after property tax collections.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And March 31st is just before.
Yeah. So, there's probably some the April collections may be off a little bit, wouldn't they? Because a lot of people
prepaid in December. Absolutely.
Like me,
yeah.
so they could get their last itemized deduction of their life.
Yeah. But we had a lot of calls on that.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Okay.
On the following page is the Treasury cash balances as of the last day of the most recent 14 months. So if you compare March to March, you'll see that the, where are we at here? The pool is holding about a little less than $8 million increase over the last year. Some of that, part of that is people paying more of their taxes before December 31st. A couple million dollars is that. The other portion of it is everybody's still in more of a savings mode right now. Not sure what's going on with these markets, right? And so people aren't quite spending as much as they normally would. So they're still saving a little bit, all the pool participants.
And for the county, the revenues are up. Not
yes,
a lot,
yeah.
but revenues are growing. So.
And on below the chart there, you'll see you can see the maturity dates, how much we have in by month. Following page is the maturity distribution as of March 31st. You can see we're a little heavy on the low end, but we did that on purpose. We put some money in treasuries to get a little bit extra yield at that point. But it's the ladder is looking fairly filled out. Following page is the quarterly yield comparison. You can see the county was approximately 1.60, LAIF was at 151, and two-year treasury was at 216. So that you can see that we're getting closer, and I've got some other, later on after this, I'm gonna go into what effect the flattening yield curve is having on our mm-hmm. on our pool. But all in all, we've been increasing quite a bit each quarter on the yield.
Mm-hmm.
Following page is the investment pool participants, which hasn't changed since the last meeting. We have nobody leaving. So,
yeah. That's
and that's it. Any questions on the quarterly investment reports? All right.
So Gerald, you always beat LAIF, but I noticed they're gaining on us. Are you expecting to increase your lead again here soon?
That will be the next topic.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, so I guess we'll move on to item six, discussing the yield curve and its effect. So if you look at the first line graph I put out, you can see the blue line is where we're at as of 3/31. And we had a spread, let's see here. Oh, that's the wrong one. So the purple line is as of March 31st, 2010. That's a nice steep yield curve. So gaining more than double from 2 year to 5 year is where you normally see a healthy yield curve. But we're farther into the bull market now, I guess you'd say, where we start leveling off, the Fed start increasing interest rates, which brings up the low end. And the higher end, the above 5 years, you know, they do 25 points there, and they do very little on the other end. So the low end's coming up a lot quicker. And then the next chart, normally you hear twos, tens. I use twos, fives because we can only invest out 5 years. Twos, tens is more an economic indicator, whereas I wanted to show kind of what's happening with us. You can see back in 2013, we had a spread between the two-year and five-year treasury of 113 basis points. It was actually higher prior to that, but the data I had, it was easier to put this together to the 2010. And then you can see about where they started increasing, the Fed started increasing rates, and the yield curve really started to tighten at that point. As of March 31st, 2018, the spread was only 37 basis points between a two-year and a five-year treasury.
That whole gap is just
Really narrowing out, yeah. As of this morning, we're between 31 and 32 basis points. So it's flattening even more. I put some extra handouts that I didn't have in a packet. So you've got them. So let's pass these.
So what's happening is, you know, whereas in the past couple of years it's been our trend to roll over our investments in 5 years, the interest spread between five and two is not that. It's not the differential that we had before.
Oh yeah.
We're doing a greater mix of shorter term than we would normally do.
Yes. But we still are holding a minimum for that 5 year to get as much spread as possible.
Yeah.
So the next graph is county compared to LAIF. So if you look back in June 14, that's the end of the 2013-14 fiscal year. We had a spread between us and LAIF. The spread is the green part. We were actually making 66 basis points over LAIF at that time. So if you compare that to the last chart where you really see the yield curve tightening up, you'll see LAIF is starting to catch up. As of March 31st, LAIF, we had a spread of 23.2367. I'm anticipating, not going to guarantee it, but I'm anticipating LAIF is going to outperform us starting this next quarter. Hopefully not too much. So there's two issues. One is we have a flattening yield curve. So when you have a flatter yield curve, the shorter portfolios, and LAIF is one of them, they only run 186 days, they're able to turn over those lower yielding quicker than us. We have to sit on ours for a longer time. We outperform them in a normal business cycle majority of the time, but there is a time when the yield curve starts flattening out and we can't outperform them at that point.
And this includes the artificial increase.
Yes. So what LAIF, one of the things LAIF, well, the state did, the treasurer did, was borrow against the pool.
They just borrow, just like we do.
Yeah. But they borrowed $6 billion. And they borrowed it at a two-year treasury rate. So it's a floating rate. And they're going out, and I like this term they used, approximately 8 years. It's not even a set how long they're going to take to pay it off. So what that does is that's not a normal investment for them. So what they've done is they've kept it outside the pool, and at the end of the quarter they do all the calculations on the pool, and then throw the basis points spread that loan got them back into the pool. So there's no way for me to know what effect is going to be on their pooled rate for the next quarter.
And what the state did is they borrowed how many? How much?
$6 billion.
$6 billion. And PERS is charging them 3% on their unfunded liability. And so they invested the $6 billion in paying down their unfunded liability at 3%, whereas they only have to pay back the loan at the 2 year treasury, which is less. So they're saving money.
Yeah. By doing that. $6 billion, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. That is a lot of money.
Yeah. So it's hard to, I'm thinking they will outperform us slightly this quarter.
And so that,
it's hard to anticipate what the effect of that loan is going to be.
And if their WHAM is like 180 days, to then do an 8-year loan at a 2-year treasury rate, it's artificially increasing their rates.
Yes, because that 186 days is not 186 days anymore, even though they're still claiming it, because they're keeping it on the outside of the pool.
Yeah.
So
Gerald,
when
we do that, they call it arbitrage.
Well, there's no, it's not tax exempt debt, so I mean, investors, so arbitrage doesn't apply.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. That's the definition of arbitrage.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So,
okay.
So we're saying it's a gray area what the state did.
Yeah. It's not invested with investors who are getting a tax benefit. Therefore, the arbitrage rules for the IRS don't apply.
Yeah. So. So what happened with LAIF, if they do surpass us, eventually we will catch up, and we will, once the yield curve stabilizes and gets steeper again, gets back to normalizing, we'll outperform them, you know, hands down. I mean, I could see a lot more than 66 basis points outperforming them for quite some time.
I remember, maybe I'll date myself here, I remember a time when LAIF was up around 15. 16%.
Wow.
That was a long time ago.
That was a long time.
We'll never see that again.
Never say never.
Yeah.
But I do remember that.
I didn't think I was going to see it then.
That's true. But we've been held down so low for so long.
Yeah.
You know, the other factors are we're still, U.S. government treasury is still paying a lot more than any other country is. So we have a lot of downward pressure on that yield on the outside, you know, 10 years and out, just by other countries investing in our treasuries, which pushes the yield down, makes them more expensive, so the yield goes down. So there's a lot of factors going on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And do we see more volume at the lower terms, the lesser terms? Because 30 years to lock up your money for a small differential doesn't make any sense.
So there are some counties that have, we have brokers, and they kind of tell me what other counties are doing. And some of the other counties are starting to move from the 5-year more towards the shorter end. But what that does is when this market does recover, they're going to have to reinvest all that money in really low yield.
Right.
So it's I think our philosophy is better. We ride it out. And then once the market gets back to normal, we'll have a lot more yield over LAIF than what these other counties, some of the other counties are doing. So, yeah, we look more long term, I think. Some things we have to ride out, and then we get big payoff afterwards. So,
okay. I can't see you. I agree with you. I don't think interest rates are going to go crazy.
Yeah, in fact, they're dropping today because the Feds called it a dovish stance on the rate hikes. The market was thinking that they were going to get more hawkish, more aggressive. And they definitely are not after the meeting. So they still planning on bringing it up
quarter percent.
They like
to use their animals.
Well, they're blaming it on that 8 of the members are still from prior
regime.
And so they have the majority. So they still can't do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. Whether it's right or wrong, who knows? So we'll see. We'll see what happens with inflation and unemployment and all that.
That's what I was
see if they are on the end of the curve rather than trying to be in front of it and be a leader instead of a follower. So we'll see. And then the next page. So I just put this together. It actually kind of shocked me that I could only find 25 counties in California that report their treasury pool earned interest on a regular basis. I would have thought this day and age I could have got almost all of them.
So you know, as part of the Treasury compliance, we have a reporting requirement, a recorder to the Board of Supervisors. There are some counties that report to the Board of Supervisors, but not on the agenda.
Yeah.
It doesn't get agendized. They provide the board with those reports, but it's not in the public arena. And I know when we were at Alpine, it goes directly to the supervisors, but it never goes on the agenda.
Yeah. And Alpine's definitely not on the list.
Yeah, no, you'll never find it unless you ask for it.
Yeah. So I was kind of interested where we were at. So I was trying to put it, I wanted to have more counties on there, but I ended up getting 25. And we are still holding on the upper end of the counties that I could find. As you can see on 331, there's still several that aren't reporting yet online. Mm-hmm. But so, you know, we're still gaining a market value for the yields. So.
No, I think.
Where's Yuba on this list?
Yuba's not on the list.
Yeah, I'll bet they're up on the top. But
what happened to San Benito?
San Benito.
Yeah.
Oh, they look. I want to say they are ones that are doing a realignment.
Yeah, because they were looking pretty good.
Process.
And they just dropped.
Yeah.
Like a rock.
Yeah, I want to say they. What it looks like is they did a realignment where they're trying to dump off a lot of that yield, but in turn you lose a lot too. So
right.
it if you just buy and hold, to me, you ride it out, and at the end you have the same result.
Well, it looks like they're worse off, depending on the spread from where they were and
well,
how long it takes them to get back up.
Yes, well, next quarter they'll post a higher yield.
Yeah,
but that'll bring them down overall. So it's kind of one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's an argument for both philosophies. It's just what you believe in. I think ours is a little bit more secure because our first principle is to securitized principle. I mean,
that's safety.
That's safety of principle. Mm-hmm. And if you sell a low yielding bond, you lose. I mean, there's some on here that we could lose $30,000-$40,000
right.
just for selling it.
So
I think that kind of goes against the
if that
policy.
Is our number one priority, that means that we could never, as fiduciary, in our fiduciary responsibility, sell a bond, sell an investment for less than face,
yeah.
less than book. Because then we're losing principal for the sake of earnings.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's that nexus, you know, how much in earnings. If you're going to get 10,000 in earnings, and you're only
How many years? What's
exactly.
the
play,
break-even point?
Play the game,
But
I don't think we should play games.
No, I don't think so. I ran the numbers myself.
Right.
I looked at the bonds and ran the numbers, and the only way a realignment philosophy works is if you do it immediately. You have to do it monthly. You can't wait 6 months
right.
and then sell that. It's you're just too far in a hole at that point.
Right.
If you do it quickly, you can recover a lot quicker, and then it could be, you know, beneficial. But for us, buy and hold, I think, is the best philosophy.
We're not getting hurt by it.
No.
And we're keeping. We're still going up. I'm thinking we'll post in the 170s this quarter for this quarter. So, and hopefully, I'm hoping 190s, depending on the market, by the end of the year, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're still earning a good yield. So.
Yeah.
And
as can be seen, because you're staying, you know, at the top end of our peers. So.
Yeah.
And some of this could be. For instance, in Alpine, up until recently, they would never invest in anything but LAIF. So they didn't own a Freddie Mac or a Treasury bill or a corporate bond.
Yeah.
And so some counties are very risk averse, and they don't invest in anything but specific types. They won't purchase an Apple bond or a GE bond. Or they won't do CDs. They'll only do U.S. Treasuries
agencies. The other thing is, some of these could be some of these might be using a financial firm, an investment firm, to do their work. And these are gross numbers, so they could have a huge expense with these companies. I mean, for us, we're talking, if we went to have somebody do our investing for us, you're probably talking between
$5,000 a quarter, maybe.
When I first got there, I was kind of looking around, and we're looking at probably a good extra $60,000 to $80,000.
Yeah.
Depending on how much work they do for us.
Yeah.
So the more trading they do, the more it costs.
Sure.
So, and these big numbers could be really reduced. You know, they could have $1 million. You know, some of these bigger counties could have $1 million expense going to their investment firm.
At least.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
The big bad guys,
yeah.
Any questions on that section?
No.
No?
So the next meeting is August 20th at 11 o'clock. I think it's working to schedule these out in advance. We'll get them on the calendar. Yeah. We don't have to worry about getting a quorum.
Yeah.
I think we're doing better at that.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
Janet, can I ask a question? You know, I touched on it the other day when I saw you. The money that is the county has, the $2 million plus dollars for that is being held while the appeals are still being worked out with the major ones, Ormat and Mammoth. Is all that money just in the general investment pool? Is it?
Yeah, so we have between $2.4 and $2.5 million, and that's in a trust account in the pool. It is earning mm-hmm. interest. We have some refunds that have been settled for one of the taxpayers, and those refunds are going to be coming out. But we have $7 million at risk. And so the concern is even if we settled at 50%, we would wipe out a significant portion of the current tax apportionment in order to make those refunds to the taxpayers. And we reached out to Barry at the assessor's office to try and get some additional better information on, so we know what's at risk, but we don't have a good feel for what the settlement might be, and these things have been hanging out there for a while, which is why we're hanging on to the money. We have another $1 million to potentially move into it that Ormat has paid through the forepay. And even that would barely get us to 50% of what's at risk.
Yeah.
How many districts are in that trust?
Okay, so there are, I have to recall what I was looking at this morning, there are four major taxpayers so there aren't districts in it. The money that's in here belongs to everybody that is a property tax recipient in the county. The money, if we find that the appeals get settled and we don't need it, the money would be distributed based on the years, based on the AB8 factor for each of the years. There's multiple years in there. That's why it's a lot of work to calculate how much each district has invested in this impound account. But it's four taxpayers, Mammoth Mountain, Ormat, 8050, and I think, I can't remember who the other one is. And they have filed appeals that are putting at risk $7 million of property taxes. So in other words, if the assessor completely lost on all of the appeals, we would have to refund $7 million, of which we only have potentially $3.5 million on hand. And then we would have to go back to all of the districts, the town, and the county, and collect $3.7 million from their current assessment in order to make the refunds. Now, I think that will never happen. I don't think we'll ever settle for what they asked for. It'll be something less than that, but I don't know what our risk is.
So is that the total exposure of 7 million?
Mm-hmm. And the 7 million is as of appeals filed, I think through 2016 or 2017. So then these companies are filing appeals every year on their taxes, so every year taxes are at risk. And the two big ones are Ormat and Mammoth Mountain. And,
but the one thing that we always clarify, because our staff assumes that they're not paying their taxes, they are paying their
taxes.
They
are paying their taxes.
Yes. So we are receiving.
Yes. Which is why we like to use unanticipated property tax revenues to fund this, because it should be revenue that you weren't anticipating in your budget. For instance, the county has a policy, we only budget $100,000 of delinquent property tax revenue, and the reason why is that we don't want to fund ongoing services with a revenue stream that's unpredictable. And our delinquency rate is decreasing.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
And
yeah.
So that is a very risky revenue stream to rely on to fund your budget. So the money that's in there is money that most of these districts and agencies were not anticipating.
Yes.
And hopefully they will settle and we'll be able to give a refund to everybody. But we would have to go to every year that's in there, use the ABA. I think there's like 6 years that are in there, use the ABA factor for all of the districts in the county and calculate that for each of the years, add it all up, and then that would be what each district has in that investment trust.
And is that something that you plan on doing, I mean, anytime soon, or are you planning on waiting till all of the claims settle, or?
I would prefer, well, first off, because I don't have staff resources to spend, I think it's gonna take a couple days just to do that. And then my concern is the number I give you might be a wrong number, because we don't know what the refunds are gonna be. And then, and also that it's gonna take staff resources I don't have available right now to produce a number that's just an estimate. And so I have some concerns about trying to give you that calculation right now when everything's in flux. Now Barry Beck, the assessor, had indicated during our budget workshop that he thinks at least one of these major set of appeals might get settled by September. And so I would prefer to wait until that happens instead of spending a lot of time to give you a number that you really can't rely on.
Okay. Well, September would be awesome.
Okay. Great. But we're really at the mercy of the appeals process. It is very difficult to get good information. We just don't really know. There's a fleet of attorneys on the other side that are filing a lot of legal motions and stuff that are delaying the process. So.
Boxes of paper.
Well, I would say if you find the staff time,
yeah,
I'd like to know what our worst case scenario would be.
Okay.
Okay. And then, you know, I think we can sell it from that point, if you will.
Yeah, I talked to Stephanie Butters this morning. You know, we have some refunds to make right now. I think those are going to take a week or two to get processed. They will come out of that account. We have this $1 million from Ormat. We need to make a decision if it's going to be moved into that, because it makes a lot of sense. It was paid by Ormat. It probably should go back in. It was totally unanticipated.
Yeah. Well, it's also the main part of the main chunk that's being contested too.
So right. Mm-hmm. So there's a nexus with that money. And then maybe instead of trying to do each of the 6 or 7 years that are in there, let's just take the most recent ABA, calculate it. We'll let you guys know, but I just want to make sure you understand that this is guess.
Yeah.
Right.
Worst case basis.
Worst case. I like your worst case. Yeah. So maybe we could give you that number.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Any other questions? No?
Thank you. If there are no more questions, we are adjourned to our next meeting on August 20th.
Thank you,
Janet.
Thank you
for all those 3 days you just went through.
Oh, okay. Right out of